Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. Join Dave and his guests now as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From L.A. in the Big Apple, a big welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, along with Adrian Gruberg from the Caregiver Space, coming to you live and on demand 24/7 on 16 global and audio platforms like YouTube and Stitcher and iTunes and SoundCloud and a whole bunch more.
Don't want to bore you by listing them.
And more come up every day. And we have an exciting show planned for you today with my lovely co-host, Adrian. Say hello, Adrian.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about coping with the holiday caregiver blues. We could make a blues song out of that. Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Take care of my mother. Boom, 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 boom. She just messed her diaper. Boom, 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 boom.
Oh,
it's a little early for me.
It's not all about mothers and diapers.
It's not?
No.
What planet are you from? How your song would go if you were going to...
Mine would have to do with husbands and...
Oh, the positive part.
Well, not, that's not positive when it comes to holiday blues. I mean, when you're, you know, after caregiving, it's the after caregiving blues.
So, yeah, so you're saying, okay, you're not a caregiver anymore, and now you deal with,
it's
like,
different
the holiday.
Kind of blues.
Christmas was all alone with, you know.
With my new boyfriend.
Okay, so Adrian's not alone because she got a boyfriend.
It's only been more than seven and a half years. So, I mean, it's not like I jumped in, you know.
Well, you know, my sister, she was a caregiver for a whole 4 days when her husband got sick. He was just great. You know, he's a cowboy, 80 years old, riding horses, doing...
How old?
80. That's old, right?
Yeah. Mature.
Old, right. Old enough to not be riding horses and doing team pennying and you know, all these belt buckles coming out of the zoo.
Unless he can, yeah.
He can, yeah. He's,
wow.
He's the Marlboro man who didn't smoke. And so, he's in the asphalt business, and he was at my gas station, giving me an estimate on my asphalt. And the next day, he was in the hospital with a pain in his back. And they discovered cancer at stage 4. No, I don't think it was lung cancer. It was some, I don't know what's in the back. But next thing you know, maybe.
Kidneys, lungs, you've always got bones.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but it was bad. And next thing you know, he's in the hospital with tubes coming out of his mouth and his nose.
God.
And he was diagnosed with cancer. He said, Marie, get me out of here. I'm not dying in this damn hospital.
Yeah. So, did she?
Yeah, she took him home, had him, you know, the oxygen and the tubes and the morphine drip. And we all said our goodbyes in 3 or 4 days. And she grieved for a couple of years, and now she found a boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And his kids are not very happy about it.
Her stepchildren. I have no kids, so, you know, that I just have a dog. She's a handful. So,
yeah, and we just finalized our reservations for Hawaii on February 1st.
That's exciting.
And for the very first time, we're taking our dog as a support, as a service animal, excuse me.
Shotzi goes with me. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a pay a lot of money to this organization to make sure that he wasn't going to become quarantined at the airport for 3 months, because Hawaii is very picky and finicky about who they let into their little island paradise.
Yeah.
And they want to make sure he was rabies vaccinated twice, and that he was, you know, just all of these things. They won't even let you bring an orange into their little paradise, and so let alone a dog, you know, ticks, and, you know, they just want to make sure this dog is A-okay.
Yep.
And he is. He's ready to go. And it'll be interesting, because we've never really traveled with him for that long, that far away. It'll be interesting.
Traveling and the hotel with located. Animals is interesting.
Is it?
Anything that I should be aware of? Your dog isn't big.
No, the dog is small, very, very well behaved, very lovable.
So Dotsie's as quiet as a mouse. She's the best traveler. She's not great with strangers in the house, but outside, she's a perfect lady.
And they're encouraging me to give him this special calming thing for the plane ride. You recommend that?
You have to know your animal.
How does he or she travel
in the car?
Oh, he loves it.
Okay. Quietly?
Yeah.
So?
He's not, you know, as long as he's with us, he's okay.
That's Shotzi. As long as he's with us, she's okay.
Doesn't matter where he is. Every time we go out, he gives us this look. You're not leaving me alone again, are you?
Yeah, she's going with me to the hairdresser today. They love her there. So really? Let them fall all over her for a while.
Well, the holiday blues.
The holiday blues.
Came up with 10 when I was in Arlington, Virginia, at doing the TEDx talk. They had this little magazine, and it had the caregiver's corner. Mm. And someone tore it out for me. Oh, look, I thought of you when I saw this, and it has 10.
What magazine?
I don't know. It's just some cheapy little thing. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Magazine. On the other side, it says the gift that keeps on giving.
All right. Well, that may be true.
This is, let's give credit where credit is due. This is www.vitalmagonline.com.
Okay.
Vitalmag.online. Yeah. So whatever that is, we're stealing their stuff today. And number one, because there's 10 of them, we better get going. Your health comes first. If limited sunlight during the winter affects your seasonal affective disorder, oh, they got a name for it, too.
Bad.
Lack of sunlight. Sad. Bad. See your doctor. If you don't have a problem with the sunlight, out still suffer seasonal depression. I think that's a typo. Oh, but still suffer seasonal depression. Talking with a counselor to learn to cope with this depression is often a good idea. You know, that's why they say, my daughter lives in Seattle, and that's why they always say that the suicide rate in Seattle and other places that are cloudy all the time are higher than everywhere else. And that must be because of this syndrome, SAD, seasonal affective disorder. You have a problem with the sunlight, or I assume not seeing the sunlight. What do you know about that?
Plenty.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you live in New York. I was going to say Brooklyn.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not why. I get depressed every February. It's.
Oh my gosh! You need to go to Hawaii with me. That'll fix you.
But
why February? Is that the month that?
That's the month for me. Yeah, that's the worst of it. But, and it's been every year for about 30 years. So, I mean, I know that it's coming. So when it hits,
but an event happened, or it just happens that is the month?
No, that's when the winter blues really, really start to hit me. When it's winter, and it has nothing to do with grieving or anything like that.
Really?
But my father lived in Florida, and he was suffering And he was suffering because he was inside taking care of my mother all day.
Really?
And I got him this, they make a special light that you turn on for a certain number of hours a day, like while you're working, and it's the quality of the light, the nature of the light that substitutes for sunlight itself
Oh
and
my God.
keeps you emotionally balanced. And it's been proven to work. I haven't used it. I got one for my father and it helped him a great deal.
Well,
So,
I just feel better when the sun, see, it's early here. The
well,
sun is
you're
just starting to rise now. I can see the shadows on the mountains out the window. That's why I had to turn lights on because it was so dark in here. We're doing a special show because of the holidays. You know, we didn't want to do a show on Christmas Eve. I think that's when it was, right? No, Tuesday was
Christmas
Christmas
Day.
Day. Yeah, that's even worse. And New Year's Day, I don't think we can do it on New Year's Day, so we've got to figure out another day. So Adrian is so flexible, but you did have a migraine the other day.
Yes,
Sorry
I
about
did.
that. Must have been a bad one.
It was.
And you don't know what brings them on, huh?
Well, this time it was too many movies and too much TV and too much sleep and not enough sleep. It's
You know, talking about TV, I just had an epiphany. I even did a 5 minutes of Dave's Hammock Wisdom on it.
what?
I found myself sitting in front of the TV way too long for too many hours lately, and I don't know why. I'm just getting lazy and vegging, and I've been addicted to the news lately, and that's a terrible thing to be addicted to. I've had to stop it. I remember I stopped it for a month, a few months ago, and it had this power over me. I couldn't get up. And when I was sick and tired of the news, instead of turning it off, I would flip the channel, and next thing you know, I'm watching Shark Tank or a Deal or No Deal, and
Or
I'm saying,
home shopping, or the
no, I don't do
view,
that.
or
But I,
movies, movies, movies,
yeah,
movies.
sometimes, but I just says, you know what? This is a waste of my precious, valuable time. I can think of a million things that I need to be doing. And it's not like I'm depriving myself of relaxation time.
Right.
I'm fully relaxed. So it's
Yes.
so I just couldn't trust myself anymore. I reached up in the behind the TV because it's in this cabinet. I found the HTML cable and I pull that sucker out. And I
Wow,
says,
you're
I'm not watching this thing. I am
serious.
serious because it had too much control over me. So I told everybody, you know, whatever is controlling you these days, you know, get rid of it. If it's porn or cigarettes or
Porn?
wine
Where
or
did that come from?
because
Well, no,
did
a
you
lot
know
of people, it is a
67%
thing
of the
now.
men in this
I
country are
know.
addicted to porn? My
I know,
gosh.
now that it's so available, yeah, I do
Yeah,
know.
you don't have to go into the sleazy part of town anymore. You just turn your phone on
Now
and
that, yeah, it. I remember when videotapes came in, and it was like, well, now you can watch in the privacy of your own home. You don't have to go into those
yeah, well,
skeevy theaters anymore.
that's why our society is falling apart at the seams, and the families are falling apart, and divorce is rampant, and kids are all screwed up.
Oh, I have two cousins who have fallen prey to that. Yes,
Yeah,
it's
kids are
real.
watching this stuff, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old.
Well, kids are also they have to be very careful about their social media and what they post, because kids are very naive and very susceptible, and
You know,
they can fall prey.
society doesn't care about our children anymore. You know, we used to care about what was on TV. We used to care about what we exposed them to, you know, and now we just don't care. If we can make money on it, screw the kids. And that's
Well,
just how
I
sad.
saw a play the other night. It was a great movie by Paddy Chayefsky, called Network. You may remember it. If
I don't
you
think so.
never saw it, I'm mad
Never.
as hell and I just won't take it anymore.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that. There was a song, yeah.
No, that wasn't a song. That came
Well, it
from
was a song. Maybe
the
that's where it came
movie.
from.
I'm mad as hell and I just won't take it anymore. We
Yeah.
saw the show with Bryan Cranston on Broadway. That was our Christmas present to ourselves. And It was just as relevant today as it will be politically as well as socially as far as TV goes. And they were talking about the control this little box has over your life, and how 3% of Americans read newspapers and 15% read books. And they've updated their statistics,
And the kids don't even
and
crack open a book, you know.
the kids don't, and there's
They
they're
don't leave
not
the
teaching
house. They don't leave
penmanship
the
in school
screen.
anymore. But it was a very, very telling play. It was beautifully staged. It
Wow.
was amazing.
Still on
But
Broadway or no?
it's going to be on for it's a 12-week run. I don't know exactly when it
Oh.
started. I
We're going
think
to
it
be in New
started on
York,
the
Charlene and I. We're going to kill three birds with one stone. It's going to
When are you
be
going to be
an
in?
aggressive trip. We're going to be there 18 days because the very first day of the first event and the very last day of the last event, there's an 18 day, and I was either going to, go for 10 days and then leave her home and come back, but I she
What's the
was
first day of the first event?
The 27th, I believe, of April, and the 13th of May.
And what
So,
event's the first one?
first one is the National Publicity Summit. Instead of pitching our show, we're
This
going to
year,
be
yeah.
looking for guests for our show there. There's going to be a lot of producers, including producers of Good Morning America and The View and, Dr. Oz and all that. I'm not supposed to pitch while I'm there. I'm just supposed to be doing what they're doing, looking for guests for their
Looking
show.
for
But
guests, yes,
I can
but you
have a
can't help.
relationship. I can maybe
That's
go to
right.
dinner and not break the rules
But
and
you don't do dinner at the hotel dining with in the hotel coffee shop.
that again.
You don't do dinner in the hotel coffee shop.
Okay, what should I do then? Is that
Well,
because it
the
stinks
restaurants
there?
they're used to are rather pricey.
Oh, in the restaurants?
Yes.
Well, the New Yorker Hotel isn't exactly 5 stars. I don't know why
No.
they're doing it there because they have a good ballroom on the top floor, but they
That,
don't
well,
recommend anyone
they
sleep
have an
there.
it's an event space. No,
Yeah.
they don't recommend anyone sleep there.
Now, these people probably like to go next door to the pizza parlor. I don't know. Get some New York pizza.
Well, there's White Castle not too far away.
And then I'm speaking at the New York City bar.
Oh,
So
that's
that's
good.
kind of interesting. So that's just a few days later. So that one's not too bad. But then West Point is on the 12th and the 13th. And that's.
Wow.
So I've got a cousin in Staten Island, just moved into a loft on the bay, and he was fixing it up, so I couldn't stay there last time I was there, but he'll be there this time, so we'll save some money on hotel rooms, and then you and I will
I may be
definitely get
moving.
together. What?
I
When?
may be moving then.
Really?
Yeah,
This never
I'm
works
trying to
out for
sell the
us.
loft. Very big, very
Where are you moving to?
big up here. I don't know. I have
You're
to sell
supposed
the
to find
loft
out where
first.
you are moving before you
No.
sell.
No, you've got to find out. You've got to have the money to buy before you go buy.
Oh, you think it'll be done by May?
Well, we're working on it.
Well, you'll be in the city, won't you, or no?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Well, we'll still meet.
Of
We want to
course.
go see Carole King, Beautiful. One of the things we want to do,
Well,
because
you'll
I
be
will.
too late for network, but
Oh.
that's fine. You should
All
just
right.
watch the movie.
Well,
It's
let's get
a
on to number two. We're going pretty slow here.
Well, we don't have to go slowly. I mean,
You mean we don't have to go fast?
No, I mean, we don't have to go slowly. I can go through these things like boom, boom, boom. When it
Oh,
comes to
okay.
depression at the holidays, I've written a bunch of articles on that already. So, what do you want to know?
Well, there you go. This one says, if you've always enjoyed the holidays but now find them overwhelming because of too many demands on your time, simplify the season. And you know, my wife is one of those people that she just goes crazy over Christmas, and she overdoes it, and we have too many Christmas decorations. And this is the first year, and I told her I was proud of her, in her life, that we did not have a tree.
Really?
She just put up some stuff around the house.
Okay.
We did not decorate outside. And I'm like saying, oh my gosh, you know, it's because it's just overwhelming. Because she does it all herself. I mean, I help her, of course, but...
But she loves doing it, doesn't she?
She does love doing it, but you can tell that it was becoming overwhelming for her with
it
one arm and one leg in a wheelchair.
And you don't like to admit it, but age does creep up on you.
Right.
And these things become harder and harder. And
That's
you
right.
have to do it and put the stuff... You have to have the stuff ready, find it, get it, bring it out, right. put it up, take it down, put it away again. And
That's
it's
right.
a big deal.
And Christmas doesn't last that long. I mean, she does start after Thanksgiving, but still
yes.
it's like a month. That's, you know, to totally upheaval your house. I didn't
yes.
say that correctly, but...
There are people who prepare for Christmas all year long.
Yeah. Well, we've got neighbors that just, you know, they're like the Griswolds. They just go
no,
crazy.
No, I've had friends at work in the old days who literally, that was their hobby, was preparing for the next Christmas. Every year, they were doing like another vignette within their house, and that was sort of what kept them going from year to year.
And the stores don't help, you know. They've got the brand new technology lights that look cooler than last year's
sure.
lights, and you know.
Well, technology is always going to be forcing you onto the next
yeah.
thing, and that's something else that's depressing because you can't always keep up with it. You can't afford
right.
to keep up with it. You can't afford to get the kids the gifts they want.
And the
you
thing
can't
that
afford
would always
to go out for the New Year's Eve that you want to. You know,
and the things
I mean,
that would always kill me is when you pull out the lights and you plug them in and it doesn't work. Because
oh, now
one
got
little
this,
bulb.
There's this device now online.
Yeah, I saw it.
On television.
I saw
yeah,
it. It
I,
seems too I good want, to be true. I don't believe that it works. It can't. How
it
can it work?
It doesn't work as
I go
easily
click, click,
as it, it. You have to check every connection.
Oh, so you've checked
until
out.
You find the one that's the bad connection to go click, click.
Well, they sure make it look easy, and I just, you know, I'm smarter than that. I said, come
yeah.
on, that ain't going to work.
So what's the next
Number
one?
Number three, learn to detach from the negative feedback you may get from others because of changes you're making. Here, we're just talking about this, right? Because
mm-hmm.
maybe some of the kids are disagreeing. No, we want Christmas, we want a tree, or whatever. Detaching simply means that you recognize the other person's feelings, but you will not allow yourself to react or be controlled by their feelings. Now, this is especially true if you're a caregiver, loved one. You have different opinions as to how much decoration should go up. And, of course, if the caregiver's bedridden, easy for them to say, hey, I want a tree, I want this, I want garland, I want the lights outside.
It's not just that. I remember Steve loved getting gifts, but he never really liked giving them. And... I mean, he would give me gifts all year long, but he loved getting them on special, you know, on the occasion.
Uh-huh.
And I really didn't care. I liked being surprised. I would love to come home and find an extravagant gift for me on the bed. It's a thrill.
We've
but,
gotten pretty boring
but,
now. She tells me what she wants, and she gives me the catalog, and she waits for me to order it. And I says,
no, well,
really?
See, there are eight nights of Hanukkah, right?
Uh-huh.
So when I was a kid, we lit candles every single night. I still light candles for Hanukkah. And every night we got a gift. And some nights it was a pair of socks, and some nights it was a pearl necklace. I mean, you know, they gave us like one big gift every year and lots of little things, a book and, you know, a doll, whatever. But Steve didn't have that practice when he was growing up. So as an adult, I started to indulge him. Well, after about 20 years of this, it got to be an awful lot.
Uh-huh.
And so he started giving me the money to buy him the presents.
Was he Jewish?
Steve?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, why didn't he have all of this happening to him when he was a kid?
No, his parents were not religious.
Wow, so you can be a Jew but not be religious.
Yeah.
Duh.
Duh.
Well, I knew there were Orthodox and Reformed
But this
and
Orthodox Reformed,
conservative, but
this
there's really a
Orthodox
fourth
Reformed
one, which is kind
conservative.
of
Well,
atheist. I don't know. What do you call
no, it's you're culturally Jewish, which
it?
is what I am. I'm culturally Jewish. I'm ethically Jewish. I'm just not as observant as my brother. I don't keep kosher. I don't go to synagogue as often as he does. Well, as often. I rarely go to synagogue. I mean, I grew up in a religious home. I knew all about it, and I felt that I didn't need to do those things to be a good Jew. I think what I do is being a good Jew. I'm giving back. I've got a big heart, and I mean, there's something called tzedakah, which is char not charity, it's giving. And that's within the Jewish Jewish vernacular, tzedakah. And I believe in that. So I practice in my own way. I don't need to show up every Saturday in temple and pray. I just need to do what I find is ethically, what suits my moral compass. I mean, it was very interesting to me when I started dating my boyfriend now, and he's Catholic. To my brother, to my mother, that would have killed her. But with my brother, he said, "Well, you're not having children with him, so as long as you're happy and he's good to you, that was where they were coming from."
Today,
And I
today's
understand
modern Jew, huh?
that. Well, yes, but there are still, a lot of people who don't want to be assimilated and whatever. Anyway, we're getting off the topic.
Well, listen, let's take a break and don't go away. We will be right back.
Welcome, caregivers. Thank you so much for finding your way to our community of loving and supportive caregivers. We as caregivers understand and know the day-to-day feelings of guilt, fear, and loneliness. But guess what? There is hope. I, Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, along with my team of experts and caring caregivers, have made this site just for you. We are a community of caregivers that understands and supports you wherever you are in your journey. We are a place to connect with other caregivers, but more importantly, a place to get practical, actionable help. There are lots of ways for you to get support. First of all, you can download our welcome pack. This will get you started on your Thrive journey. Next, you can ask and get answers to your questions by posting them here in our private Facebook groups. You can also get live online support by attending one of our live weekly Connect webinars. You can get practical, actionable advice by listening to our weekly podcast. You can hear and read other stories about other caregivers' experiences. Plus, add your own in our weekly Share Your Story forum, posted every Tuesday in the Facebook group. You can access essential resources and download practical Thrive Solutions packs, all of which are geared to help you thrive as a caregiver. We know funds are tight, so we offer all of our individual Thrive Solutions packs, or for even a better deal, you can get lifetime access to all of our resources. Again, we are here to support you and help you thrive and to enjoy your life as a caregiver. And remember, this is a place to get hope, not just cope.
And we're back with Dave Nassani, the Caregiver's Caregiver, and Adrian Gruberg.
Grubug.
Marbles in the mouth. founder of the Caregiver Space, 165,000 strong now.
I looked. 156 people as of this morning.
And we're talking about coping with holiday caregiver blues. And number four is play music. If you have elders in nursing homes, bring them a CD player and CDs. So they can play old songs they enjoy around the house. My mother enjoyed that.
Yeah, not even just bringing it to them. Do it for yourself.
Mm.
You have no idea how much levity it just brings into the house. You can be depressed and all of a sudden find yourself bouncing to holiday music. It's amazing.
Well, and work for make Sleeping it holiday. Beauty.
If it's holiday music, if it's Broadway show tunes, like, which is the way I usually start Thanksgiving, while I'm cooking, but music will definitely lift you out of it, and it will definitely make. If there is not, I can't say absolutely 100%, but. Certainly, people in senior residences are known to respond to music and recall, and even dance to music when they hear it. It's quite remarkable.
Yeah, I was watching a documentary on Bob Hope. I didn't realize he was an excellent dancer because that's what he did in vaudeville.
Yeah.
And... it says here that if you're the kind of person who gets sick every time you hear Christmas music in the mall, then play some other kind of music.
Exactly. Exactly. I remember I worked in Atlanta at a mall that literally had Muzak years and years and years and years ago when there really was no other thing, but the whole mall had the same exact music.
The elevator.
And
music.
Boy, from Thanksgiving That's until depressing. New Year's, you heard the same thing every day.
And no, it wasn't necessarily Christmas that. Music, right?
It was Christmas music. Was you were going bonkers.
The instrumental kind.
Yes, the instrument. No lyrics at all on Muzak. But no, play whatever makes you happy, whatever makes the other people happy.
So you bring up an interesting topic. You know, the politically correct police are out there, and they have targeted a couple of Christmas songs that they don't like.
They're
you know
crazy.
What I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you
They're
would
crazy.
Have to... You would have to ban half of the standards, I think, if you take away, baby, it's cold outside.
Cold outside. it's going too far, and the pendulum is going to have to find its proper place.
Well, I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I always considered you a reasonable person, even though we don't agree eye to eye on everything. Politically.
No.
And then I saw in the news there's a cross, a big, big cross, and it says Valor at the bottom, and they want to take that one away. And I says, well, where does this stop?
Where is it?
It's in somewhere in the Midwest. I can't remember. But it's at a almost like it's a war memorial. So it's not really, anything to do with Christianity, even though it is a cross. But
well, then it is.
Arlington Cemetery, all the crosses. I mean,
but
are
there
they
aren't
in
just
now?
Crosses at Arlington.
I know. There are Stars of David.
There are Stars of David. So if you do have a cross at a non-denominational memorial, it would offend if there were even a smattering
of
Jewish people.
How many crosses
of
valor have been given out to veterans for whatever?
But if it's the town's memorial, the town shouldn't decide what religion they're going to. It should be about soldiers. It shouldn't be about religion.
Yeah.
It should be about valor.
Well, I don't think the soldiers want to remove it. This is all coming from the outside. I don't even know if it's coming from their community. It's coming from the federal whoever these people are who just sit in their little ivory palaces,
they have nothing else to do,
and say, what else is offensive in America that we can take care of? Don't get me started on that.
So what's the next one?
A soothing light can help you relax. What
yes.
is soothing light? I thought it was not sunlight, because that's not soothing. Obviously, candles aren't allowed in nursing homes and likely aren't a good idea for elders or kids.
However, do have the new candles that flicker and look like
technology.
Real candles, which you can give as wonderful gifts to people in nursing homes. And just give them a couple of batteries with them, and it's very comforting light and very soothing light.
Indirect
and you don't
lamps,
have to worry about it.
Atmosphere, soft lights combined with good music can set a calming mood.
Mm-hmm.
Try it while you bake treats, decorate your home, or
mm-hmm.
your loved ones. Well, yeah, you can't decorate your house without Christmas music going on in the background. It just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
Now, you're Jewish, so what kind of music, what kind of holiday music do you put on during the holidays?
Nat King Cole and
singing
holiday,
Christmas
songs. Songs. I love
so
Christmas
So you don't mind
songs.
Christmas songs?
I love Christmas songs. Well, the
yeah, not all of them are religious. They're talking about...
if they are, a little town of Bethlehem, nobody mm-hmm. sings it like Nat King Cole. I mean, or Perry Como. I mean, these are just beautifully renditioned songs. I don't have to agree with the message to acknowledge the fact that it's a beautiful melody. You know, just like Richard Wagner was loved by the Nazis, but I happen to like Wagnerian opera. You know, and yes. I listen to it, so.
That makes sense.
You know, you'd listen to whatever makes you feel good.
Well, number six, give yourself some me time. Get up a little early. Go to bed a little later. Take a walk. Sit near the water. Enjoy nature. Something soothing about hearing water, like fall, waterfalls.
Yeah.
And now they have these little things you can bring into the home that just... are constant sounding.
I have rain sticks.
Rain sticks?
They're called rain sticks.
How does that work?
Do you want me to get mine?
Sure. We'll wait while you get yours.
Okay. Because it's a big one. It's a giant one. Hold
on.
Is that the thing
where you turn upside down and it makes noise? Oh, yeah.
It's a big thing. Mine's huge. It's as big as a tree. It's as big as a cactus, but you
go ahead and get it. Go ahead and get it if it's not too far away, because maybe some people do not know what a rain stick is. So some folks concentrate on their breathing pattern while they repeat one soothing word to help calm their overactive brain. I guess that could be a mantra or something like that, but we don't have to get spiritual here. It can be a word like vacation, vacation, vacation. Try to incorporate exercise into each day and watch that you eat. Watch what you eat. Oh, yes, watch what you eat. My gosh, that is big.
This is the biggest one we've ever seen. And Steve carried it
is
home.
Is it heavy?
Is it heavy? But listen... Hold on, I gotta turn it.
I'm surprised that didn't go ever to the Salvation Army. I don't hear anything. I can't hear that. Put your microphone next to it.
You don't hear it?
No.
You didn't hear that?
No. Yeah, put the headset on. Oh, I can hear that now. It's over now, right? Do it again. Okay, enough of that.
Got it?
Yeah, I got it briefly there. So it sounds like rain.
It just sounds like rain. So it's a rain stick. And it's very soothing.
Oh, now I hear it. I heard that.
This is the biggest one.
So
who bought that for you? Steve?
Steve bought it for Steve. Because it was the biggest. He got me a medium-sized one, which is in Fire Island.
Aww.
And I have a little tiny one, which my cousin Leslie got me, which was the first one I had. She brought me to the hospital when I was hospitalized for the first time. And that was a wonderful gift. Because it's a little tiny thing. It's about an inch and a half in diameter and maybe 10 inches long.
And how often did you do it?
As often as I wanted. It made me feel good. The sound was so soothing. It was wonderful.
Wow. Now they have recordings. You can just play a recording
of
ocean waves or the rain or thunder. Some people like thunder.
You can have rainforests, or you
can
have...
Some people like crickets.
Crickets.
Frogs. We can do all the plagues of Egypt.
Locusts.
You know, that always confused me how when they had the plague of frogs, Moses says, yeah, just tell me when you want it to stop. And Pharaoh says, okay, tomorrow morning. Is like, really? You want to sleep with him tonight? That guy wasn't very smart for an Egyptian.
I wouldn't think so. Well,
so try to incorporate exercise into each day and watch what you eat. It's definitely extra hard during the holiday season. And then you feel guilty like I do that, you know, I'm stepping on the scale and I haven't weighed this much in many, many months. In fact, it was during the last holiday, actually.
Right, probably.
Well, when I came back from a cruise, that's when it was. So our church starts at 21 days of fasting and prayer every January. So I'm looking forward to that because it just gets me back on track of eating what I like to call the Daniel diet. Remember Daniel? They wanted to feed him all of these in the Bible. They wanted to feed him all of these rich foods and sauces. And he says, no, I just want to eat fruits, nuts, and vegetables. He says, no, they'll kill me because it's my job to keep you looking healthy. And he says, listen, let me try it for 10 days. And if I don't look healthier than all these other guys, then I'll eat whatever you want me to eat. And said that they all looked great.
Lo and behold.
Him and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or as they say, my shack, your shack, and a bungalow. Number 7. Ask your spouse, a friend, or relative to take over some of your duties for a time. Oh, that's a good idea. It's amazing how many of us think we have to do everything ourselves, even though others would help if we only asked them or if we would only let them. When
if
we, don't
we would only let them. Him.
People don't know we need help if we don't ask, and they simply don't know what to do. So what do you got to say about that?
Well, you know what I have to say about that. You should be ready with things that you want people to do for you. You should almost have a list.
Have it written down.
Almost have a list ready at all times so that if someone says, you know, anything I can do, just let me know. And just let them know right there and then on the spot and tell them when you want them to do it or find out when they can do it.
But how do you almost have a list? Either you have a list or you don't. How do you almost have a list?
No, I'm saying you should have a list almost all the time. You should have a list.
All right.
You should have that list. And it will serve you well.
So give me like the top 5 things that should be on everybody's list.
Having somebody pick up some groceries for you. Having someone come in and give you some respite care, if at all possible. I have to get a haircut. I need somebody to sit with so-and-so for however long. Pick up the kids at school. Run some other practical errands that you might not be able to get to, like if you need things at the hardware store, or if you want to go out to a movie with your husband, have somebody come in as a babysitter. The list can go on and on and on, and It's prepare a meal and bring it to me once a week. You're quiet on me. Did you turn yourself off?
Yep, I did. I probably was clearing my throat. So, what was I saying? I says those are good ones. You're speaking from experience, obviously.
I'm speaking from writing a lot of articles and reading a lot of comments. I mean, you can even arrange play dates, pardon the expression, with, like I used to do with my best friend Emily's mom and Steve's mom, who were the same age. They had different conditions, but the two of them were going through lots of, the Yiddish word is tsuris, which is trouble, at the same time. And they would, instead of dumping on me or Emily, they would just talk about it amongst themselves and enjoy each other's company. And we made that happen. And then Emily and I could be off by ourselves in another room schmoozing and having coffee and croissants or something. That's when I still had croissants.
Thus the expression, talk amongst yourselves.
Talk amongst yourselves, yeah.
And, it's very Baba. And the other expression, coffee talk.
Coffee talk.
Well, number 8, take a trip down memory lane. Remember your parents when they and you were young. Ah, to be young again.
Sometimes that's the worst thing to do.
Really?
Sometimes that's even more depressing than not.
And remembering your children when they were tiny?
Well, if you're going back in your life versus going back with whoever you're caring for with their lives, because their blues, if they look back on their lives, like, I mean, my husband would look back on old fishing trips or, you know, old conquests or old summers and, oh, you know, these things are going to never happen again. I didn't need to go over that with him. We could go over things that we'd done together, yes. But it didn't always help to revisit the past. Sometimes it just helped really focusing on what your blessings were in the present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wise advice.
So what's the last brilliant...
No, it's not last.
No,
I was only on 8.
Oh, we're up to 9.
Take a trip down memory lane. Number 9, according to Carol Bradley, whoever she is...
Right.
She's the Bursack editor at eldercarelink.com. Are you familiar with that one?
No.
Eldercarelink.com. Wonder what's over there. Allow yourself to feel the pain, like a Bill Clinton moment. Ah, feel your pain. To feel the pain of your aging parents' losses. The empathy, right?
Yeah.
As my elders aged and grew frail, I was deeply saddened by their physical and psychological pain. The holidays threw a spotlight on all the things they could no longer enjoy. This pain is real.
Mm-hmm.
Allow yourself to feel it. Write it down.
I think that's good advice.
Talk about it. Yeah.
I think that's good advice.
Talk about it with others.
Instead of being in denial, talk about it with others. Yeah.
Get it out.
Yeah. I mean, I will say I was blessed that Steve and I were able to talk about his illness, and we did frequently.
What was his attitude about it? Was he pretty bummed about it? Did he accept it?
He accepted it. Well, I mean, when somebody tells you you're going to have a few good years and then this is going to come back and will eventually kill you, they weren't telling him 5 years or 10 years, but we knew it was going to kill him, and as soon as we got the diagnosis, that was with us, looming over us all the time. So we did as many things as we could do. But talking about the end, talking about the things that we weren't going to be doing together that we had hoped to do together, and we shared that way as much as we could. And it was not a sad experience. It was sort of it was an experiential experience. I mean, we sort of went into like, well, what would this have been like, or what would that have been like? You know, what were you looking to gain? And thinking, being realistic. I think being realistic is one of the most important things that caregivers can learn.
Yeah.
To not over or underestimate. If they underestimate what the person they're caring for is capable of, or what the prognosis might lead to. Mm-hmm. If you underestimate it, then you're doing them a disservice, and yourself a disservice, unless you're trying to get rid of them, of course. Mm-hmm. But which in some cases, would you die already?
Yeah.
There are those. But we can't say that they're not, they don't exist, and we can't say in many cases that's not the right thing to wish for. You know, it's like some people have really been through the ringer, and it's like, why do they just keep hanging on as strongly as they do? For some of them, they want to, but they kvetch and complain and bitch and moan, and it's like, I don't get it. If this is what they're here, if this is why they're extending their lives and working so hard to live longer, you know, just so that they can complain more, that I don't get. But
I think it feels good to complain, doesn't it?
It does and it doesn't. I found complaining to a shrink or complaining in my journal was the best way to complain and try and work it out that way. Mm. I didn't like complaining to my friends. I didn't like dumping on them. I wanted to have them as my good go-to place.
Yeah, which or they is, won't come around anymore. They don't want to hear you complain.
Right. And
talk about isolation.
And that's one reason that for me, if I went into a depression, I could go to them. But if the people I was caring for had a bad turn, that I wouldn't go to them for that. I tried to come up with other ways because I was counting on them to be there for me.
Yeah. You talk about journaling, you know, you know, we don't know what's coming. Tomorrows are not promised, and that's why I was having second thoughts about going to Hawaii again in February. You know, we like to go twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't really have any speaking engagements set up yet, but, you know, they can be set up at the last minute when I get there. But I'm thinking maybe I need to go there and write a new book because it's already been a couple of years.
Has it? A couple?
I think so, yeah, because I've been on my book tour for 18 months.
Wow.
And it actually came out in February or March, I think. So it'll be almost coming
you
up on
anything,
2 years.
Anything worthwhile left to say?
Yes. You know, I'm feeling like I'm supposed to expand my audience now because, you know, we both know that not all caregivers listen to what we tell them to do. About a third of them are just obstinate and are
more
not going to listen. And that's why a third of them die. But you know, I've done about 100 videos of Dave's 5 minutes of Dave's hammock wisdom, and there's just so much wisdom in there on so many different topics, and not just for caregivers, because everything we tell caregivers can be for anybody.
Anybody's life.
So, I mean, I can do motivational speakers for anybody and then use my caregiving background and my caregiving stories to just concentrate on that. But a lot of I would like to just do convert my videos into a book, you know, just little snippets. Maybe a short little chapter on each video.
Well, if so you look 100, at the books,
100 short chapters on.
Well, I mean, if you look at the books by, you know, the gurus and, you know, they have snippets of wisdom where they might just have three sentences on a page.
Yeah.
And that's all. Yeah. And that and those three sentences
less is more.
Can be the most important thing you've ever read.
Yeah, maybe me on the cover on a hammock in Hawaii with the sunset in the background. I don't know. Just something.
I mean,
like,
if you look at the number of books that Thich Nhat Hanh, do you know Thich Nhat Hanh?
I don't think so.
Thich Nhat Hanh. Thich Nhat Hanh. It's three words. Thich Nhat Hanh.
And what does he do?
A Buddhist priest.
Mm.
And wisdom for any religion, for anyone.
Mm.
Just good, ethical, warm, common sense.
Kind of like
insights.
The Dalai Lama.
Well, the Dalai Lama is, he's never quite so brief, but Thich Nhat Hanh is, Thich Nhat Hanh will have the one thing that he said that I have under my bedroom is no mud, no lotus.
Oh, no mud, no lotus. He's kind of like that short guy on Star Wars. what's his name?
Zulu?
Name? No, the little short Jedi who speaks kind of backwards.
Oh, what? Yoda.
Yoda, yes. That's a Yoda moment. How would Yoda say that?
Mud, no. Lotus, no. Have it backwards.
Well, we're almost out of time, and we are on number 10, so let's get that one out of the way. Let go of perfection. It's like all those holidays, and this is my wife obviously let go of this, and I never thought it would happen in my lifetime, but she is becoming less and less perfect.
Compulsive about the perfection.
Well, we all knew she wasn't perfect, but she's starting to realize that being perfect isn't as important as it used to be.
No, it's not.
Let's let good enough be good enough. Give yourself the gift of acceptance and enjoy. Enjoy life. Don't get upset because that doesn't look perfect. And I tell her this all the time because she just wants it to be perfect, and she won't leave the house unless she looks like the Queen of England. And I says, we're going to the laundromat.
No, like, I mean, I understand that because I always feel you have only one chance to make a first impression.
Yep.
So I always want to be at my best. But
yep.
I've been leaving the house without makeup, and you know what? People down on the street are not falling over and
they're not going, ah!
I mean, I've held myself to a very high standard all these years.
Well, you look great. I don't know if that's your with makeup look or your without
this
makeup
is with,
look.
What?
This is with.
But, you know,
well,
we all have to let go of certain things to get other things in there. We
slow down,
and we need to not berate ourselves for slowing down either. That's part of the
amen. Preach it.
Yeah, so, I mean that's a big part of the perfection thing. I used to be able to do this. Well, damn it, I can't do it anymore. So I guess I can't. You know, instead of forcing yourself to just let it go.
The clock on the wall tells us that we've run out of time. So how do we get a hold of Adrienne Gruberg?
Oh, Adrienne, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, at thecaregiverspace.org. And the website's thecaregiverspace.org. And the Facebook page is The Caregiver Space. So,
and I'm Caregiver Dave, and that's one-stop shopping. You go there, and you'll see everything that I do and everything that I have.
Yeah.
And just join our team. And until next time, goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani.